This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, I'll get to the snow. I'll get to the snow out there after this show. Or should I just say, hey, you know what? You guys want me to break out the snow blower at like 3 o'clock in the morning so I can get it done before I get rolling with the radio show here? Or should I just say, all right, everybody, stand by. We're going to have dead air for the next 15 minutes. I got to go shovel some snow. I got to go break out the snow blower. It is fun breaking out the snow blower, but I am ready for the snow. I don't know about you guys. Some of you are already sick of it. You know what I'm sick of? You know what I think so many of our listeners are sick of, as we're hearing already here this morning? We are sick of hearing about Afghanistan. We are sick of hearing about Somalia. We are sick of being ripped off as American taxpayers by all these people who flood into this country. And so many of them that don't come here to be free, they come here because they want to get stuff for free. But it's not free stuff. You're paying for it. You're working for it. And by the way, where are those liberals in Big Sky? Oh, who's going to shovel our snow if we don't have illegal aliens here to shovel our snow for it? Well, pick up your shovel and go do it yourself, because we're tired of carrying your weight. Anyway, that's my take. Let's go to Matt in Billings, kicking off the phone lines here in this 8 o'clock hour of the show. And where's the accountability, too? That's the other angle, right, Matt?
Yeah, good morning. I just wanted to comment on Goose's call on the 7 o'clock hour. I agree with him 100%, put my name behind what he said. But I also would like to add, it's not just about the prosecutions. It's about optics. And a political pundit, I can't remember, said it, you know, elections are won by snapshots and, like, you know, quick moments. And so even if we didn't like, as Republicans, that, you know, what they did to Trump and some of his other cabinet members with their arrests, those things matter. And for me, and as ignorant as it sounds, is I'm not exactly a Republican. I'm a Trumpican. And so if these things don't transpire that we think should happen, then, like, you know, they lose people at the midterms. I mean, it's proven.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what, you know, young Finley Warden and I were talking about, what, a couple of weeks ago, where he said, look, Gen Z voters showed up for Trump. They showed up for the Republicans. But if the Republicans don't deliver, then Gen Z will not show up for them in the midterms or maybe ever again.
Yeah, exactly. And that's just my take to add to Goose's. But, like, it has to be accountability and it has to be shown to the public because, you know, CNN and all these other fake networks can't really not cover one of these guys being arrested at home or at the airport or whatever you say, you know, the appropriate way is. But just to have them called in with their lawyers doesn't cut it because then they don't have to cover it.
Well, and they created fake crimes, fake dossiers to go after Trump. And frankly, everyday American citizens. But now when confronted with real abuses of power and real, you know, real crimes, they're like, oh, no, no, you can't do that. That's weaponization of government. No, you should be held accountable for what you did to this country. Or in some cases, look at Tim Walz in Minnesota right now and him turning a blind eye to billions of dollars worth of Somali fraud. And then that money going to terrorists overseas, he should be prosecuted for what he did as well. You've got whistleblowers now coming forward publicly that are state employees in Minnesota saying that Tim Walz allowed this all to happen. Matt, thanks for the call.
It's December 2nd, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today is Fritters Day. Celebrate by eating your favorite kind, whether it's apple or shrimp. On this day in 1970, a new federal agency called the Environmental Protection Agency opens its doors, which began a new age of government action on behalf of Mother Earth. The Hobbit, The Desolation of Smaug, the second film of the Hobbit series, premieres in Los Angeles in 2013.
I merely wanted to gaze upon your magnificence, to see you really were as great as the old tales say.
Also on this day in 1972, the last of their four chart-topping hits from the Temptations. Papa was a Rolling Stone, reaches number one on the Billboard Hot 100. Over the course of their amazing career, the Temptations placed 38 hit records in the Pop Top 40. I'm CJ Papa. That's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, we're sick of hearing about Somalia. We're sick of hearing about Afghanistan. But, of course, we're going to have to hear about it a little bit more here in the coming days and weeks, because we are going to have to see these prosecutions be carried out, given this massive fraud case involving Somali migrants in Minnesota. The Treasury Department is now investigating whether, quote, feckless management by Minnesota Governor Tim Walz allowed millions in taxpayer dollars to be funneled to the Somalia-based terror group Al-Shabaab. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent announcing the probe as fallout intensifies over reporting that more than $1 billion in alleged fraud happened on Walz's watch. And as you might recall, even the New York Times has featured whistleblowers that are state public employees in Minnesota who are saying that Walz did that very thing. He turned a blind eye to the fraud that was taking place. And we all know why. Because of the massive political power of the Somali community in the Minneapolis area. And then, you know, the fact, you know, we've got an Afghan refugee murdering an American National Guard soldier in the streets of our nation, our nation's capital, and then shooting another as well. By the way, I've got an update on that Missoula rape suspect, the Afghan refugee or Sile rape suspect from Missoula. We kind of raised the question yesterday, whatever happened with that case? Whatever happened with that rape suspect? Is he still in Montana? Is he still in the United States? I've got an update for you here that I'll get to in just a second. But first, this was kind of the soundbite that really kind of set me off, and I think set off some of our other callers as well. I think Kat
Fox News
last night on Gutfeld's program just really, I think, struck a nerve with a lot of us, where it's like, yeah, we're so sick of hearing about all of these failures. We're so sick of hearing about Somalia. We're so sick of hearing about Afghanistan. And we're also sick of the fact that so many of the people responsible for this fraud are not being held accountable. The people responsible for this invasion of our country not being held accountable.
How many decades, how many years of how many mistakes related to Afghanistan have we seen overall?
Yeah.
And who has been responsible for any of that? We don't know the names of people who mostly have been the ones to make these mistakes.
Yeah.
I mean, even going back to the withdrawal, people are like, oh, it's Biden's fault. Okay, but how much was he really involved in anything?
Probably nothing.
Who was punished for any of that?
Yeah.
And what happens is, I feel like just blaming Democrats, like, wait, it's the Democrats. Like, who? Who is it? Who's doing this stuff? Because it's like Democrats blame Republicans. Republicans blame Democrats. And then everybody's just so interested in this politically motivated blame game that they're not actually interested in blaming the actual people responsible. I can think of not really a better example than such a lack of accountability, and we're getting continuing bad negative outcomes from something quite like the Middle East situation.
That is true.
I mean, it's just how many decades are we still dealing with this? And we haven't seen any real consequences for the people who actually f*** up here.
Yeah, that's true. $1 trillion. This is $1 trillion spent there, $1 trillion. And then there's...
Yeah, well said there by Kat Timpf on Gutfeld's program last night. Earlier this morning, I put together a quick update. So yesterday we were talking about, you know, how basically the Department of Homeland Security was putting a renewed spotlight on some of these so-called refugees, some of these so-called asylees. I think Kristi Noem said that there could be up to 100,000 were allowed into this country under the Joe Biden regime. They think up to 100,000 people came in. Actually, let me just play that soundbite for you right now, and then I'll get to this Missoula case in particular. I did just see a great write-up put together by Western Montana News as well. But first, here you go. This is Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem.
You asked how many people came in. We think up to 100,000 people came in under Operation Allies Welcome that may be here that we don't know necessarily who they are or why they came to this country. If they came here truly, maybe for asylum, or if they were someone who had nefarious ideas on how to attack Americans or to undermine our way of life. What I would say on the vetting process is that has to happen before they ever come here. They have to be vetted before we allow them to get on a plane and come to the United States of America so that we know what their intentions are and who they are. And in order for us to do that, I know from the Department of Homeland Security standpoint, we have to have another government and another country that cooperates with us, that shares information with us, that will help us check dates of service and collect biometric information and data. That wasn't done by Joe Biden. It wasn't done by his administration. They did a vetting process, but it wasn't thorough. They didn't look at social media platforms, and that's all of the changes that President Trump is implementing.
Yeah, and that's why he's putting all of this under review. But as we talked yesterday, earlier this week, the Department of Homeland Security highlighting several examples of Afghans who came to the United States following Joe Biden's disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan and then committed crimes in this country. DHS highlighted in particular a rape case out of Missoula as one of the examples. So I threw out the question yesterday, whatever happened in that case involving the Afghan asylee who was prosecuted for raping a young woman in Missoula? And remember, this was just 2 weeks after he was allowed into this country under the Joe Biden, John Tester regime. Well, according to a previous report in the Missoulian, the Afghan man, Zabihullah Mohmand, entered an Alford plea in July of 2022 to a reduced charge of misdemeanor sexual assault in Missoula following that incident that occurred in October of 2021. Well, is he still in Montana? I reached out to U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement and got the answer. I'll give you that that answer right after this. Plus, we've got phones open for you.
Bullet points.
I'm Evan Brown. Virginia may soon have some new gun control laws, and that's a result of recent elections in the Commonwealth. Virginia Democrats not only took back their governor's mansion and their attorney general's office, they also expanded their majorities in Virginia's legislature, and the newly elected leaders promised gun control. And while we do not yet know how far they'll try to take things such as bans on semi-automatic firearms or regulating magazine capacities, they've already filed some bills. One called Senate Bill 27 takes aim at the firearms industry, intended to make it easy to successfully sue firearms manufacturers for the actions of criminals who are third parties. And according to some reports, the Virginia lawmakers are discussing a potential purchasing permit requirement, not unlike which was just enacted in Delaware, though a lawsuit to fight it there is currently being fought. And those are your bullet points. I'm Evan Brown, Fox News.
Just how morning in Montana. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, so phone lines are open for you, 406-294-0970. By the way, John Jackson, the Joker from X, is not in the building. He is not in the building today. But John Jackson will be in the building tomorrow. He will be joining us on Wednesday this week. I know some of you are wondering, hey, it's Tuesday. Where's the Joker? He had some stuff come up for today, so he is going to join us tomorrow on the show. So it'll be an unwoke Wednesday for you. That'll be a good time. But phone lines are still open for you. You get to be our sidekick here on Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk. 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app. In fact, this one came in at the end of yesterday's show, just as we wrapped up Monday's Montana Talks. Morgan in Helena said this: the Montana Refugee Resettlement Program, run under the Montana Department of Public Health and Human Services, needs legislative review, a thorough audit, and public transparency. That sounds like a good idea, a little legislative review, an audit of the refugee resettlement program in Montana, especially in light of recent events. Yeah, 100,000 brought in to the United States of America under this Operation Allies Welcome program under the Joe Biden regime. And the shooter of our incredible National Guard soldiers in Washington, D.C., came in as a part of that program. 100,000 people brought into this country. So here's the bottom line. Basically, the guy who was prosecuted in that rape case in Missoula back in 2021, who had only been on the ground here in Montana 2 weeks after being allowed into this country from Afghanistan, apparently he is now in the Boston area. So he did basically this Alford plea deal with Missoula County. So that kind of let him off the hook. When he was let off the hook in Missoula County, then he got picked up by ICE. And then in 2022, you're still under the Biden administration. Basically, ICE had let him go. The last kind of big update that I had seen was that he had remained in custody pending removal proceedings with the Justice Department's Executive Office for Immigration Review. But the latest, I just checked in with a spokeswoman for ICE yesterday. I said, hey, what's the status of this guy? Is he in Montana? Where's he at? Is he still in the country? According to an ICE spokeswoman, Mulk Mond was released from ICE custody in December of 2022 and is currently being monitored by ERO in Boston. So apparently he is in the Boston area right now. Now, the other question I have, but this is more kind of a question for the White House and to see what the president, what his review is now going to trigger, because the president has basically already been making it clear that any of these folks in this country who are after this review are deemed to be a threat to the citizens or to national security, you're out of here. Well, criminal background already basically, under review, the Department of Homeland Security spotlighting this case in particular, you would think this would be a prime example of one of the first cases of you're out of here. So I've got that story on our Montana Talks website right now. But to be honest with you, Western Montana News, I saw a report that Roy McKenzie just published. This is even more in-depth information. So it looks like a very good report here by WesternMT.news. Days after an Afghan national shot two National Guard members near the White House, killing a 20-year-old young woman, the Department of Homeland Security turned its attention to other Afghan evacuees, including a man convicted of sexual assault in Missoula 4 years ago. And then he shared the DHS post from November 29th, which mentions Zabihullah Mokhmand, an Afghan national who was resettled in Montana by the Biden administration, charged with the rape of a teenage girl in a Missoula motel room. The post came 3 months. This is the new information here that I'm seeing from WesternMT.news. The post came 3 months after a federal appeals court overturned an immigration judge's decision to deny Mokhmand asylum, finding that he was denied a fair hearing. The Ninth Circuit ordered a new proceeding where Mokhmand will get another chance to fight deportation. The November 26th attack that killed National Guard Specialist Sarah Beckstrom and critically wounded Staff Sergeant Andrew Wolf intensified national scrutiny of Afghan resettlement. The suspect, Rahmanullah Lakenwal, had worked with the CIA in Afghanistan and then was granted asylum in April. Let's see. Mokhmand was arrested in Missoula on October 17th, 2021, after an 18-year-old woman reported that she had been raped at a hotel. According to charging documents, the woman met the Afghan man at a bar downtown. Speaking of the other soldier, an update there, Staff Sergeant Andrew Wolf, he was the other West Virginia National Guardsman who was shot in that attack by the Afghan man last week in Washington, D.C. Apparently, his condition is improving. He has been kind of non-verbally communicating with family and with medical professionals. That is the one good news update on that story And hopefully we hear even more good news here in the days ahead. Here is President Trump paying his respects to these National Guard troops.
I want to just pay my respects to the National Guard and those two incredible people. One is no longer with us. One is looking down and loves her parents. I spoke to her parents the other night, and she's looking down, and she's so proud of her country, and she's so proud of, loved her parents so much, and her parents couldn't believe what happened, could not believe it, what happened to their baby, what happened to their daughter. She's gone. And we have another one who's fighting for his life, as you know, and he's a fabulous young man, highest. Both of them were the best everything, the best of their class, the best of their class. And maybe he'll be okay. He's going through a lot, but maybe he'll be okay. But I want to tell you what the National Guard's done, along with other people, including our military, to D.C. Just if we look at D.C., we have a safe city again.
All right. Let's see. Phone lines are open for you. 406-294-0970. If you got something you want to talk about, you want to jump in on the conversation. What about the Minnesota fraud? What about all, billions in fraud tied to the Somali community in Minnesota? And, of course, Tim Walz, we all know he turned a blind eye to it so that he could bend at the knee and kiss the ring of the Somali community because he knew how politically powerful they are in Minnesota. He wanted the political power. He had to bend at the knee and just turned a blind eye to the fraud. Here is Mike Tobin on Fox News. Earlier this morning, I got a chance to catch up with Jeff Manasso out of Chicago with Fox News Radio. This is Mike Tobin on Fox yesterday talking about the multiple red flags that were raised.
Breaking tonight, the Treasury Department is investigating allegations that taxpayer money in Minnesota has been diverted to a Somali terrorist organization. Governor Tim Walz is trying to evade responsibility and is also being accused of retaliating against whistleblowers. Senior correspondent Mike Tobin has the details tonight.
The amount of money siphoned off emergency programs in Minnesota is said to have reached over $1 billion. The federal COVID money was meant to feed poor people, provide housing, even help autistic children. Now, over 50 people have been convicted and a total of 78 have been charged with stealing it.
Fraud in Minnesota under the watch of Governor Walz has exploded.
A concentration of the fraudulent dollars ended up in Minnesota's Somali community, a voting bloc with increasing numbers and power. As aid applications were filled out, even incorrectly, they were approved. Money came in, services did not materialize, and red flags were allegedly ignored.
I liken that to someone saying, hey, someone's stealing all the cookies out of the cookie jar, and the government just running over itself to refill it as fast as it can.
Over the weekend, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz sidestepped responsibility.
Certainly, I take responsibility for putting people in jail. And I will note, it's not just Somalis. But to demonize an entire community on the actions of a few, it's lazy.
A publication called the City Journal quoted unnamed sources and reported that the money has been sent through the ancient and untraceable Hawala, or money changer network.
All right, yeah, there you go. And you heard just the shameful response there by Tim Walz, the governor of Minnesota. Two things that he did there. One, he downplayed the Somali connection. Once again, the guy is bending at the knee to pander to the politically powerful Somali migrant community in Minneapolis. 71 of the 75, I think I mentioned this yesterday on the show, are of East African descent. The other thing he shamefully did there, he is taking credit for what federal prosecutors are doing. Those are federal, the Trump team pointed this out on the Trump War Room on X. President Trump, the feds are the ones that are prosecuting these migrant fraudsters in Minnesota. Tim Walz had nothing to do with it. In fact, the New York Times is even quoting public employees in Minnesota who are telling us that Tim Walz was alerted to the fraud and he turned a blind eye to it. But there he is on Meet the Press taking credit for the prosecutions that are taking place. Not in state courts, not by state prosecutors, but by federal prosecutors. Anyway, lots to talk about this morning here on the show. I see we've already got to take another quick break here on the program. Let's get to some more Montana-specific stories here right after this. In fact, actually, I just got a very interesting email from Tom Burnett, former legislator in Bozeman. This is an interesting one when we talk about all that free stuff. Stand by.
Big topics. Big ideas. Big Sky. Montana Talks.
All right. What do you want to talk about? Give us a call, 406-294-0970. A couple of messages just came in on the Montana Talks app. Morgan in Helena with another very good question here. Who is paying the legal bills for the Missoula Afghan rape suspect? Appeals are expensive. That's a very good question. Yeah, he's all the way up to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, going before an immigration judge. Who is footing the bill for this Afghan rape suspect to be going through all of the legal maneuvers here? Who's paying for all sorts of things? Very good question. And that's fundamentally what I think everybody is so outraged by, is that, you know, historically here in the United States of America, we've had so many incredible immigrants who have come to this country legally because they want to be free. And now look at how many of the so-called migrants are here just getting free stuff. And not just first generation. Who was it? Was it John or was it somebody else who made this point last week? Second generation immigrant families now are becoming so dependent on government handouts that you have to go to work today to pay for. And again, this is what the Democrat Party wants to create. They want people that are dependent on government, because if you are dependent on government, you're more likely to vote for them, because you have to keep voting for government. They don't want you to thrive and be prosperous on your own. That's why they always want to take your money when you go to work in the form of higher taxes. They want people to be dependent. So that's why they saw a win-win here with opening up the floodgates for 100,000 people from Afghanistan and millions from Russia and Yemen and Syria and everywhere else all over the world, is because they saw millions of people that they could bring into this country and make dependent on the government while they bankrupt you, while they bankrupt this country. But they get the voters, they get the power. That's why Tim Walz is turning a blind eye to all the Somali fraud in Minnesota, because he gets the political power from it. He gets to sit in the big boy chair. And then got rewarded for turning a blind eye to the fraud by becoming the Democrats' handpicked vice presidential nominee. Another message that came in here, this one came in from Hillary in Bozeman. Today, the Bozeman City Commission is meeting for 9+ hours from 1 p.m. to 10 p.m. They are going to try to approve the tenant's right to counsel on the taxpayer's dollar. The original amount was $670,000 to have lawyers on hand to defend low-income tenants that do not pay their rent. Average rent due is over $4,000. Convenient that the meeting is midday when no one can go. They posted the agenda at the last minute. That's from Hillary in Bozeman. Yeah, isn't that interesting, Hillary? So the liberal Bozeman City Commission wants to take your money and then use your money against you. They're going to take money out of your pocket so that they can hire lawyers to sue you. Man, talk about a slap in the face. If you're somebody in Bozeman who's, you know, lived there for decades and, you know, you're trying to make it work, you're trying to deal with the high cost of everything, and so maybe you've got a rental property to help pay the bills or to help put your kids through college, and then now they're going to take your money and use it to sue you. Boy, isn't that nice, huh? Isn't that nice, Hillary? My goodness. I see we got John in Kalispell wanting to weigh in on this very topic. Go ahead and patch him through to us here, Caden. We'll get to him on the phone lines here. Andy in Whitefish, when it comes to the question that Morgan and Helena asked about, hey, who's paying the legal bills for the Afghan rape suspect from, well, the Missoula Afghan rape suspect, who's paying the legal bills? Andy in Whitefish says George Soros is flipping the bill. You know, wouldn't surprise me at all, Andy. That would not surprise me at all if there's some George Soros outfit that's paying for that. Okay, let's see real quick here before we get to John in Kalispell. We were talking about how many people come to America now to be free or to just get stuff for free. Tom Burnett, former state legislator in Bozeman, sent me an email here, actually at the top of the hour, talking about free buses, libraries, and high schools. How much does a free bus ride cost in Bozeman? $15.12, entirely paid by taxes. Let's see, what about library visits? He says that the, take Belgrade for example, the Belgrade Library in 2013 had 81,000 visitors, roughly. 2024, last year, under 60,000. So they've had a, what, you know, 20,000 plus decline in visits in just over 10 years. He then added this, Belgrade christened a new $22 million building this year. How much will that increase visitation? It remains to be seen, but the cost to the owner of a median home will be $261 per year for the life of the bond. The recent school bond failed. Taxpayers seem to have chosen library over school. Tom Burnett adds this, Hamilton library visits are down, but a new building or a remodel is planned. Visits in 2013, just under 87,000. Visits in 2024, around 45,000. So practically cut in half. Stevensville library visits, 2013, just over 45,000 visits. 2024, just under 39,000 visits. They've also got a new or remodeled building in the works. Statewide, library visitation is down, but expenses are up. So anyway, very, very interesting email there from Tom Burnett, former state legislator in Bozeman. I think John in Kalispell is also a former state lawmaker from the Gallatin Valley. John, thanks for calling in.
Thanks for having me, Aaron. Hey, I just wanted to let you talked about the Bozeman City Council meeting today, and that is true. They are going through the already done deal for tenants' legal fees, and there's very little qualifications for individuals to be able to receive those legal fees. So it may not just be for I didn't pay my rent, but those individuals could be removed for or have the contract terminated because their drug dealers are doing illicit activities within the home, and those individuals would be able to participate within this program. And if you look at Bozeman Tenant United, they're the ones that want to have this in an ordinance in Bozeman. Well, you already have your left-leaning dictators that are already going to vote for it, so it's already a done deal regardless. However, you look at Great Falls and you look at Missoula, they each have roughly $70,000 out there to help represent tenants. So this is already there. It's just not in code. It may be a line item, but it's not in an ordinance. Bozeman needs to be done and gone away with. They're not the Bozeman of old. It's just a hardcore leftist, George Soros funded and run candidates, very similar to what Missoula is, but Bozeman has gone so far left, I don't even know how deep that hole is.
Yeah, I mean, it's just crazy just when you hear the concept of it that, okay, they're going to take money from you, the taxpayer, and then use that money to hire lawyers to sue you. You know, and potentially to cover for people who should be paying their bills but are refusing to pay their bills. I mean, this is rewarding lawlessness practically here.
Well, additionally with that, Aaron, if you actually look at the ordinance, that ordinance goes into the ability of a tenant to use these legal services and then go after a landlord because they haven't repaired something or they haven't complied with their portion of the Tenant-Landlord Act in regards to maintenance. I don't necessarily have a specific issue with a tenant's ability to do that, which is under the law, but how many people are going to sit and complain about piddly stuff that is not substantially important or dealing with health and safety of a property? They just don't like the pinholes in the walls from the previous tenant or the paint color or things that they just want to complain about.
Yeah, it's not like the water heater's out. It's like maybe something a little more superficial, and now you could rack up a whole pile up of costs for little projects here and there that can rack up in no time, especially with the cost of just doing business in Bozeman right now. No, very good point. Hey, John, if you can, stick with us. I want to get your take on some of the latest news regarding property taxes. If you can, stand by and I'll come back to you right after this.
Waking up on the right side. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
They allowed over 76,000 Afghanis unvetted into the country. 6,868 were flagged for derogatory information. Let me translate that. That they could represent a clear and present danger to you, the American people. They let them in anyway. Over 5,000 were flagged for national security concerns. They let them in anyway. Nearly 1,000 flagged for fraud. They let them in anyway. Nearly 1,000 flagged for public safety problems and risks. They allowed them in anyway. You know, we still have over 1,000 cases open, and we have 885 that we know of national security risks that Biden-Harris Mayorkas allowed into this country.
From coast to coast, from sea to shining sea, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
You know, and all the time I have been telling you about Pure Talk, my wireless company, a veteran-owned company, I can honestly say I've never seen an offer like this before. Listen to this. Unlimited talk, unlimited text, unlimited data with a 30-gig hotspot for just $29.95 a month for life. Friends, this is Pure Talk's top-tier plan. Normally $65 a month. Now, through December the 7th, just $29.95 a month, and you're saving over 50% a month every month for life. Now, remember, you get the same cell towers, same 5G network, #250, keyword, save now, do it now, the best offer you will ever get on cell service, #250, keyword, save now, from Pure Talk, my wireless company, a veteran-owned company, America's wireless company.
Taxes and fees not included. Some restrictions apply. See puretalk.com for details. Offer ends 12/7/25.
Hey.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right, let's see. Hopefully John. Oh, I think we lost John in Kalispell. I checked in with him before we went into that break. He said he was going to stick around with us. But, John, I don't have you on my phone line. So if you want to jump back in. Well, I'll tell you what, John. Since we're so short on time this hour of the show anyway, and we lost your call, you probably had to run off and do something. But if you want, call back in next hour of the show, because I still want to get your take on this property tax stuff here. John Sinrud from Kalispell was our last caller there talking about this story out of Bozeman. He was a state legislator in the Bozeman area back in the day and represents the Montana Landlords Association. But two property tax things that I wanted to chat about here. First, this one's very important. How many of you, if you own your house, how many of you applied for and received the property tax rebate check earlier this year? Would have been back in like August, September timeframe. Okay, if you did, good. You should be good to go. That means you are already automatically in the system to receive the homestead tax exemption, meaning you will receive, you know, the lower property, I say lower, basically the bottom line is you will qualify then for the lower property tax rate for the homestead exemption, because if you don't, then you could get hit for it being a second residence or something like that. Also, if you are the owner of a long-term rental, so let's say you have your own house, you own your own house, and you got the property tax rebate. Okay, you're already covered with this homestead exemption deal. But let's say you own a long-term rental or two or more, right? You have to apply directly with the Department of Revenue. Apparently, if you go to the Department of Revenue's website, you can check to see if your home or your long-term rentals are already covered, already enrolled, or if you need to apply. So definitely go check out the Department of Revenue website. I think it was Jonathan Ambarian with the Montana Television Network had a report yesterday where with this headline, applications open for Montana homestead tax exemption, but many homeowners are already enrolled. But again, you might want to go to the Department of Revenue website to make sure that your home is enrolled. Or if you own long-term rentals, remember those long-term rentals qualify for the lower rate as well. But if you have an Airbnb or a VRBO, a short-term rental, or, you know, like a family cabin or something like that, you're going to get hit with a higher rate, unfortunately. So make sure you go check out the Department of Revenue website to make sure that you're enrolled on that front. But the other thing that I wanted to get John's take on, the other thing that I just kind of find interesting. So the liberal Montana Free Press did a report looking at six charts showing how Montana's big legislation shifted 2025 property tax bills. And what I found very interesting is that in a lot of these cases, property owners who are going to save money under the legislation may have seen their tax bills rise this year regardless, just not as much as they otherwise would have gone up. And so it goes back to a question I've been raising is, if people got relief, but they don't feel they see it or they don't feel the relief, anyway, I just think it's going to continue to be unpopular with folks for that reason.
This is for Karina. Our mom will finish her high school diploma at age 28. Hi, Mom. It's Amethyst and Nicholas. Congratulations on getting your diploma. You worked so hard and have taught us so much. We love you.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Mommy, how come I can't sit in the front seat?
Because I love you and you're just not ready yet.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.